Welcome to Just Friends, the podcast where a married couple can agree on what a clean house should consist of, and they watch Friends together for the first time ever.
I don't even know where to begin.
I'm Becca.
I'm Chris.
Go ahead, begin wherever you want.
Oh, no, I mean, we have cleaners coming tomorrow, yeah. And I just wanted to have, like, things put away. Like, I don't want to pay them to just, like, put our stuff away.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't really care about that. But the point is that we're having cleaners come tomorrow for the first time ever, much like this podcast. I would like cleaners to come, like, at least once a month, if not every 2 weeks, just to, like, you know, clean stuff and get dust off stuff. And Chris, like, doesn't think you need cleaners ever, but also doesn't want to clean the house to the extent that it needs to be cleaned.
Yeah, I mean, if, like, a good cleaner, I think, is worth it. It's just hard to find someone that actually will, like, get into the crevices and everything.
The only way you're ever going to find one is if you keep trying, though.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, we'll see how this goes.
All right. Sounds like we can maybe agree.
Yeah. I mean, once a month, I can live with that.
Once a month? Good compromise.
It's probably too much, but I can live with it.
All right. Guys, huge history has been made here.
You heard it here first. A friend's a friend who knows what being a friend is. Talking with a friend, 'cause you're the
friend that I've been searching for. This week we watched The One with the Giant Poking Device, Season 3, Episode 8. And this one was written by Adam Chase, sole writer's credit here. And directed by Gail Mancuso, which I think this is, like, the second time I've heard that name, at least.
Yeah, I forget if she was a director or a writer, but yeah. You can tell this was a singular vision of one writer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can totally tell. You can feel it.
I suppose. But yeah, that's definitely Gail Mancuso's second, possible second directorial.
For us, since we've been tracking.
Well, yeah, she might have dozens at this point.
Phoebe can't go to the dentist because someone dies every time. That's how it opens. Someone else dies.
Yeah.
And she has, like, a hurt tooth. She can't even eat a brownie. It's so bad. And she just doesn't want to go. Chandler's like, that's so funny, because every time I go to the dentist, I end up looking down the hygienist blouse.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay, that's not even a joke. That's just sexual harassment.
Yeah, you know, there's, you know, this show, this episode especially had some, you know, sexual harassment, some, like, kind of, not homophobic, but sort of, like, jokes that I don't think would have been worded the same way about gay people.
I don't remember the gay jokes.
We'll get to them.
Okay. Gunther, he's also in this opening scene, and Ross asks Gunther for a napkin to go with his coffee, and Gunther goes, oh, like, you don't have everything already.
Kind of slaps it onto the counter.
Ross is just like, oh, kind of a weird comment.
Yeah. So, like, they are running with this? I can't believe yeah, I can't believe I that actually
was this
true.
This is Gunther's shtick.
Yeah, that he's just going to be, like, mad at Ross for having Rachel? Like, I don't know. It's weird. I don't really.
I hope eventually Gunther, like, because I know this whole Ross and Rachel thing is going to keep going back and forth. So once it, like, you know, goes forth or whatever, or back, I don't know, whichever one is not together.
To or fro.
I hope that Gunther, like, makes his move and it really crashes. Like, Gunther's like, all right, this is going to be it.
Yeah, I just, this is, of all the ways I thought they would start weaving Gunther in, I really can't believe that this is it.
Yeah.
Just, like, strange sort of passive-aggressive sort of comments about
being in love with Rachel.
Yeah, I don't know. And, like, weird foot fetish stuff. I don't know. Whatever. It's just, this is not what I thought.
Yeah. I do think it's funny. This always happens in TV shows where, like, there's some character who's making, like, passive-aggressive comments about being in love with another character. They always do it to, like, the boyfriend or the girlfriend. And the person is often just like, well, whatever. That's Gunther.
That's weird.
Whereas if, like, a coffee person said that to me, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, kind of a non sequitur, but all right.
So going along with this story, Phoebe does...
Gunther story?
No, that's about it. Yeah.
It makes that foot comment later.
Yeah, that's... I didn't even write that one down.
At the very end when Chandler steals Janice's shoe...
Oh, yeah.
...on her way out the door... He's still holding it, and Gunther's like, Rachel has that shoe in burgundy.
Chandler is appropriately like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and Chandler's already losing his mind at this point, so for him to think that Gunther's being weird, it's quite a bit.
Yeah, Ross, meanwhile, again, just in his own world. Phoebe eventually goes to the dentist, and she, you know, comes out. She's very excited to see that everybody's still alive, and she starts calling, you know, everyone she knows.
Like her relatives.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody picks up the phone and she goes, oh, good, you're still alive, and hangs up, you know, moves on. Just weird Phoebe stuff. Eventually she realizes everyone is, you know, doing fine, but ugly naked guy, Joey actually notices it, is not looking so hot across the street.
Yeah, he's not moving.
Yeah. Joey comes up with this idea of how to determine whether he's dead or alive, and they pull all the old chopsticks that they get from, like,
Chinese. Yeah, just a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants, his idea is to poke him to see if he responds, to see if he's dead or alive.
Yeah.
And they just get what seems to be just a bunch of stuff.
I think it's a bunch of chopsticks.
Only chopsticks?
Yeah, like, I was looking at it, and I was trying to determine, is this all chopsticks? I even wrote down here, how many chopsticks do they have?
Oh, it just looked, I guess it could be, like, it's, like, still in their packaging, I
suppose. Yeah, yeah, it looked like chopsticks in their packaging. But seriously, hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, you would probably need thousands to get across a New York City street, but...
Yeah, like, although I don't know what the layout is here, because are they getting across a street or, like, an alley? You know, like, the small space between two buildings?
Yeah, I guess that's true. And they sort of have that weird little balcony-ish thing, which is more of a... It seems more of like an alley than a proper street balcony. So maybe, yeah. You could get, certainly, I mean, the alleyways, they're not even really alleys. It's just sort of like voids behind buildings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could easily put a bunch of chopsticks together and poke our neighbor.
Yeah. Well, we have more. I mean, they're in Manhattan where there's much less of an alley.
Yeah.
Ours is probably much longer than whatever theirs was.
Yeah. So, anyway, they do have a shit ton of chopsticks. I mean, I think that's like part of the joke is that you always save the chopsticks from your... Chinese food takeout? Not really. More like your sushi takeout. I never get chopsticks with Chinese food.
Yeah. I feel like they used to.
Yeah.
I feel like, they, you know, just giving utensils is less of like a thing these days. But, yeah. Much less likely these days.
Yeah. Joey does get the chance to make a big dick joke. He's like, this is going to take a lot of maneuvering for a very long device. Something like that.
Yeah. Something about how it's going to be like hard to handle such like a, you know, a long... extended device or something like that.
No, good luck. Good thing I've got this under control.
Yeah, like, good thing I got a lot of experience with stuff like this. Something like that.
Yeah. They end up poking ugly naked guy who's like sitting in a...
Who's got his gut right next to the window.
Sitting in a hammock. Joey earlier in the episode called it like a Play-Doh. One of those Play-Doh toys.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really understand it, but...
Well, I think one of those squeeze things, you know, where it's like
you're... The extruders?
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, it's probably not what they called it, but it's what it is. It's an extruder.
Yeah, where you push that through and, you know, Play-Doh comes out. Ugly naked guy, they poke him. He wakes up, you know.
He starts slapping the chopsticks. Mm-hmm.
Stands up. Shows not a them euphemism. All. Shows them all his dick, which Phoebe says something about.
Well, Rachel is like, oh, he's showing us his pointer, hers, or his poker or something like that. Yeah.
And Joey's like, it's going to take a lot more than that to get over here.
Your accent is more appropriate in this sense. He did kind of lay on. He's like, oh, you think that's going to like that's not going to reach all the way over here. Like, he kind of, I feel like he, you know, New Yorks it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're yelling at a guy about his dick, you got to get your most New York accent. That's a general rule.
Come over here and show me that dick.
Yeah, pretty much. You got a stick to show me.
I'll tell you where you can put that little thing.
I did yell, show me your dick once to a comedian. I should have done it in a more New York accent.
Yeah, that was to a comedian Mark Norman at the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
He had a bit about how women should sexually harass men, like yell stuff at them they don't want to hear, and then you yelled, show me your dick.
Yep. Men always say this. And yet they don't want to hear it either.
He rolled with it.
Yeah. I don't remember what he said.
I forget. I feel like he would usually say something, be like, you know, like, I'll hold you to it, or, you know, or something about, like that, leaning though. Into it.
I feel like he just kind of stopped and then moved on. I don't think he acknowledged it.
Oh, well.
So, he didn't want to hear it. I felt like because I remember feeling like I was right. Again, men don't want to hear it.
I mean, you also just shouldn't be yelling things out at a comedy show.
But... Men shouldn't be asked to, or be asking to be sexually harassed.
Spoken like the world's worst stand-up comedy fan.
Whatever. Men do that to women stand-up comedians. Like, take your top off.
I've never, ever seen anyone do that to a
female stand-up comedian.
I've definitely
yelled that at a female stand-up comedian.
You are the problem. No one wants you in their audience.
Are you kidding me? I've multiple times there have we've been like the only people at a stand-up comedy show, and people have been like, "Thank God for this woman," because I actually laugh. Now, sure,
oh, sure, I also for laughing. Heckle.
Yeah, I'm just like Seinfeld's nemesis in not his nemesis, Kathy Griffin in Seinfeld, where she's like laughing and then she turns.
You boo me.
All right. So the other plot line is, well, one of the other plot lines is Joey obviously saw Janice kissing the Mattress King. We saw that last episode. So now how's he going to deal with it? He goes into the coffee shop and he's like, "Is Chandler here? I just saw Janice, you know, kissing the Mattress King." And everyone's like, "Oh, you should tell him." And then I feel like someone, oh yeah, everyone's like,
Ross is like, "What are you going to do about it? Like, you know, how are you going to tell him?" He's like, "I'm thinking I'm not."
Yeah. And that's where Joey lands. Chandler, Janice's birthday is coming up, and Chandler wants to buy her a pearl necklace. And so they're outside of the jewelry store, and Joey's like, "You cannot do that. Like, you cannot buy her jewelry.
Buy her some chocolates or some gum. Women love gum."
And Chandler's like, "I think that I'm going to get her, like, something a little bit nicer than that. You know, please leave me alone." And as he, like, starts to enter, Joey, like, stops him, and he's like, "Listen.
You just can't do this.
You just can't do this. Here's why." And Chandler is very upset. He's like, "Why would she do that to me? You know, like, we're together." Joey's like, "You know, I bet that gum is looking pretty good right now, right?"
You mean like after he told him? No, he said the barium enema. I didn't know what that was.
Barium enema?
Barium enema? It was like a barium enema?
Yeah, I don't know what
like
it was.
Like, is barium
either.
Like some sort of radioactive device? I didn't know what he was saying.
I wrote bare minimum.
I thought he said barium enema. Like, is barium some sort of like radioactive chemical that they were...
That everyone knew
they
about?
They thought, yeah.
That even Joey knew about?
Is it like a coffee enema or something?
Barium enema.
All right, at least I heard him right.
Yeah,
I don't know
did.
What the hell it is.
Barry Minimum was not correct.
What is a Barry Minimum?
I put question mark. I knew I wasn't hearing the right
it's
thing.
It's the cheapest thing you can buy from a prostitute.
I need to start watching this show with subtitles on. All right, a barium enema is an x-ray exam that can detect changes or abnormalities in the large intestine, such as color. Also called a colon x-ray.
And this was like a thing that people would have understood or that's referenced to?
So Joey, also in this episode, doesn't know what Homo sapiens are, but he knows what a barium enema is.
Yeah, a phrase I've never heard.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if I heard right. It sounds like something that would give you, like, you know, rectal cancer.
I wonder if they still do it these days.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Chandler confronts Janice in his apartment. He's sitting there lying in wait for her to come in.
Just angrily flipping the pages of a book, not looking at the pages, just staring at the door, flipping them like very aggressively.
Did you see what book he was reading?
No.
That Jack Kerouac book. Or
On the Road?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't really get it. But
yeah, me neither.
I read part of that book. I didn't really...
Yeah,
I didn't
me too.
Like it.
Me neither.
Couldn't really get through it.
Yeah. It was, I was like, oh, this is what everybody was all into? The Beat Generation? This is fucking navel-gazing
like,
nonsense.
Yeah, I'm like, I can tell this guy wrote it in a stream of conscious nonsense. Yeah. I'm like, this, yeah, I've had
I get it. Janice is wearing a great leopard outfit.
Oh, it's like clashing leopard prints. It's like different, like slightly different prints for like pants and shirt. Like,
but like similar?
Yeah, similar, but different enough where you're like, something's off here.
I have been trying to get Chris to cringe at my clashing leopard outfits for, you know, months now. And he just,
I don't care about clothes.
Like, oh, and yet Janice, when Janice wears a clashing...
If you were wearing, like, overalls with nothing under them, I might, you know...
to work on a Zoom call?
Yeah. Then I'd be like, that's probably wrong. But yeah, if you're just wearing clashing clothes, I don't care.
Wow. Janice, very upset. She, because Chandler is like being super weird. He's got his eyes all wide and crazy. And he's like, "How was life?" or something. I don't remember what he says.
Yeah, she's like, "How is my bang-a-lang?" And he's like, why don't you tell me? He's like kind of stuttering, stammering, doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Why are your eyes all like wide and crazy?"
And I can't remember how he gets to it, but eventually he's like, "You were kissing, Joey saw you kissing the king." And she's like, oh, in the park? And he's like, no, at the store.
How many kisses were there? Yeah. She's like, just those two.
And Janice is like all flustered. She ends up getting a bag to breathe in. And Chandler is asking her some pretty serious questions. Like, do you still love the king? Do you still love me? She's the whole time breathing.
Are you
breathing.
Over with me? Are you through with him?
Breathing in and out of the bag and sort of giving her yeses through there, which is, you know, it's pretty funny. It looks like he's talking to an elephant person or something.
Yeah.
He ultimately asks her, like, you know, which one of us? Is it me or is it him? And she's like, I don't know. So Chandler later is playing sad darts in his apartment.
Angry darts, I would say. He was really hucking those things.
Yeah. Well, sad and angry, you know, two sides of the same coin for men.
Yeah, but I feel like sad darts would be like, you know, you just kind of like...
Yeah, I guess it's at the end when he's really sad, when he's listening to the record. This is Angry Darts.
Yeah, I mean, he was like ripping them.
Yeah. You know,
very aggressive.
It did not look like he was getting anywhere near.
No, well, I did like when he went and grabbed them off the board, some of them were not on the little dartboard.
Like, oh, they were like, maybe they were he was like actually throwing them.
In the door. Oh, he definitely looked like he was really throwing them.
Yeah.
It would have been like too much work to like have him throw them against like a soft pad and like add in the noise later and then also stick them in the wall to go get them. And it would have been easier just have him poorly throw darts.
Yeah. So this is when Joey comes in asking about the chopsticks to go poke an ugly naked guy.
Oh yeah. He's like, do we still have all those chopsticks we keep from the Chinese food orders?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want to know why?
And Chandler's all upset. He tells Joey, like, you know, he doesn't know what to do. He's like, and it serves me right for buying a 12-pack of condoms, which is something that happened to one of my friends in college, one of my ex-roommates. She always said, like, she'd never wanted to buy condoms because whenever she did, she and her boyfriend would always break up. And I saw it happen at least twice. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's some weird joke about, like, the receipt, which I thought it was, like, they really,
Yeah, that was really shoehorned in. Because, Janice takes the bag, the first thing when she starts, like, inhaling it, is, take a receipt into her mouth. And she's like, oh, a receipt. And then Chandler's like, oh, give me that. And, like, throws it away. And then she starts, like, really breathing in the bag. And then when this whole condom discussion comes up, and he's like, oh, it's not like I can even return them now because Janice had the receipt in her mouth. Everyone's like, ah, like, that's the joke. That's the joke.
Yeah, this is what you guys... really forced.
Yeah.
And can you return condoms? I feel like that's one thing. They'd be like, once you walk out the door, like, those are your condoms now.
Yeah.
And like, how much does a 12-pack of condoms cost?
In 1996.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to get?
Yeah. So weird.
Yeah.
Joey actually has some pretty good advice here where he says,
I did write Joey gives sage advice.
He says if it were him, he would back off.
He would bow out.
Yeah.
See, and then Chandler's like, what? When Joey says he would bow out, he's like, you know, they got a kid. They're a family. You know, like, I wouldn't want to be the guy that, you know, steps in between that.
Yeah.
And Chandler's like, you're right, Joey.
Wow, that was really sage advice.
Yeah.
Could that advice be any more sage?
If only they really left that word on the writer's room floor.
Too busy forcing in these condom jokes to do some real writing.
Bad condom receipt jokes.
Chandler sits Janice down in the coffee shop and he's like, you know, get ready because this is going to be serious. I'm going to back away. I know that, like, you guys have a family. I don't want to be the guy that's breaking up a family. No matter how perfect that guy is, my parents broke up over that guy, and I hated that guy, even though he made my dad so happy. And I wrote, Chandler's dad is gay.
Yeah, I mean, this is unequivocal.
Okay, so now you believe it.
I mean, even before, I thought, like, it certainly they were hinting at it, or he was at least some sort of, you know, pansexual whatever, which I still could be true. He might be into all sorts of stuff.
True.
But, yeah, he's... Yeah. I feel like they're angling towards
Chandler's gay dad. Yeah, because you were questioning it for a while. I was like, Chandler's dad is definitely gay. I'm just waiting for the moment. And you're like, we don't know.
Yeah, well, it was just like one moment, and it was in like a weird kind of... I wasn't sure if it was just like a joke or if it was like based in reality, but this was,
Okay. Janice is like, oh my God, like, I finally understand what Lionel Richie is singing about in regards to our relationship. And Chandler's like, then don't break up with me. Like, we stay together.
Yeah. She's like, you're my soulmate. I just can't believe we won't be spending our lives together.
I feel like your Janice is a little too much like Linda Belcher.
but that's not, she's not un-Linda Belcher like, so I think that that's, yours goes like weirdly Midwestern sometimes.
Yeah.
Like true. You throw in like some Fargo style.
Chandler. Yeah, you're right. I need to make it more East Coast.
Yeah, I feel like she's like, you're all like always on the verge of going like, oh. As Janet. Oh, Chandler.
Oh, Chandler. Okay, so anyway, this is when Chandler and Gunther have that weird moment because Janice is like trying to get out and Chandler just keeps like latching onto her, you know, like holding onto her leg.
Physically and restraining her.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like and everyone starts staring at them in the coffee shop. I feel like, you know, these days they wouldn't have, everyone's just kind of like, what's going on? But
just a man trying to hold back a woman, nothing to see here.
Yeah, and then she's like, I'm trying to leave. He's like, I don't care. And he looks at everyone in the coffee shop, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I feel like,
And he announces, like, you know, to everyone, I have your shoe, you can't leave now. And she, like, just walks out without her shoe.
Her heel, so she's, like, stepping all askew.
Again, today I would hope that people would be like, man, you need to give that woman back her shoe and let her go.
Yeah, the police are already on the way. Yeah, and then, so when he's holding her shoe, that's when Gunther says, like, Rachel has that in Burgundy. Which, you know.
And this is why Chris said, like, Chandler's already out of his mind. The fact that he can recognize that as a weird comment really speaks to how insane Ross is.
Gunther.
No, Ross.
What?
Because Ross was like, whatever, weird comment.
Oh, yeah. You know, whatever. Ross doesn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
According to that survey from last episode, the UK or America's least favorite character?
Ranker.co.uk, I think.
It's somebody's least favorite character.
Of the top ones. Speaking of Ross, Ross can't watch his baby today because he has to go back to the museum. There's an emergency there. Some teens have rearranged the Homo sapiens exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like homosexuals. At least that's the...
No, well, no, he just says that they just crossed out sapiens. So it's just the Homo exhibit.
Yeah, and then they rearranged them.
Yeah, but they didn't write in the word sexual. So it's just
Homo. But I mean, the joke is that they're homosexuals, right?
Well, this was the part where I thought this, you said you didn't remember the gay joke. This was the part where I thought that like using like the word homo as like a gay thing, like they wouldn't do that. And later when Joey's like, hey Ross, I got a science question for you. It's like, you know, if the Homo sapiens really were Homo sapiens, like, is that why they went extinct? Yeah. I just don't think that joke would be written today.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know. It's still like a, you know, as far as lazy Homo sapiens jokes go, like, where else are you going to go?
Yeah, I just don't see or hear the word, like, homo tossed around.
Yeah, you really don't. So that was... don't they have a joke in, no, I guess in Happy Ending, she calls him you gay, not you homo.
Yeah. It's just not something you hear too much. Like, I don't know if it's, like, horrifically offensive. It's just not a word that gets used. I think it just sounds kind of, like, aggressive.
It really does. Yeah. You know, even saying it now.
Because I think it's one of the terms people would use as, like, an insult.
Yeah.
Like, towards just anybody, you know.
Sure.
Like, the hard F. You know, you can't say that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that we don't play video games, and I hear that all of this language is, you know, carte blanche in video games.
Yeah. Because those kids grow up to be, you know, all right maniacs.
All kids who play video games?
And scream this stuff at people? Yeah. Yes. Or they become YouTube stars who get outed.
Stards.
Stards. It's a cross between a stud and a star. Stards.
Stards does not sound like a cross between a stud and a star.
No. It
sounds like its own slur.
Starred?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like a difficult, like, passing a bowel obstruction.
So, Ross...
He used to go into work.
Yeah, I said.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel asks to watch Ben instead of, like, Monica being responsible for it. But they're both together, so I don't know why it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Ross is like, yeah, sure, you can watch Ben. Like, obviously very reluctant. Rachel doesn't seem to be doing a great job in the beginning, but not, like, a terrible job. It just seems like she doesn't know what to do, you know, with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty, you know, mild stuff. And Monica is, like, trying to get Ben to be a little more engaged. And so she starts, like, picking him up and flying him around, being like, let's play airplane.
Yeah, like, tossing him up. Not tossing him, but sort of, like, hoisting him up high.
Yeah. Have you already told the podcast about how you got tossed?
I don't think so. But, yeah, when I was a kid, I don't know how old. I've never, I cannot keep track of my age as a child, but we had a couch that was like off to the side of a like a concrete hearth in front of our fireplace. And my dad, he used to throw us on the couch. We had like a beanbag on or something. We would bounce off like straight back to him, and he would catch us, and he would just sort of, you know, toss us. We would fly maybe like, I don't know, a foot. Like, it was not like we were flying across the room. And he threw me on the couch, and I sort of bounced off sideways at like a wild angle. I may have been flailing around and probably caused it, but I like kicked to the side and smashed the top of my head on like the concrete corner. Like, it was like, you know, like a right angle, hard, not rounded, just like a pointed concrete corner. And just, you know, blood gushing down my head, screaming. So my parents took me into the emergency room to get, you know, stitched up or whatever. And when the doctors asked me what happened, I just screamed, "My dad threw me into the fireplace." Which, if that happened today, like, there would be, you know, like, child services investigating, you know, like, there'd be all kinds of crazy stuff.
You really can't throw your kids in a fireplace these days.
Like, back then, they're like, no, like, it's kind of, but no. Like, it's,
everyone was smoking.
Yeah. get this baby some unfiltered cigarettes.
Doctor, you got a beer? I got a story to tell you.
Yeah. Can I have one of those cigarettes, doctor? I'm under a lot of stress over here.
And give one to the kid to calm him down.
Blow the secondhand smoke in his face.
How do you not have, like, any lumps on your head from the stitches?
I don't have a lump. I have a scar.
Oh, really?
There's, like, one. There's a small. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere over. There's, like, a bump here. I think it's here. No, here. Where my finger is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it also has, like, no hair. Or it's not, like, huge. It happened, you know, when I was pretty young. So.
Yeah, but my head is, like, so lumpy from all of the stuff that happened to me.
Yeah, your head is just lumpy from, you know, life.
From my mom's vaginal canal.
Yeah. It's a real rough ride out of there.
I came out fast. Anyway, I feel like we haven't even said it yet, but Monica knocks Ben into the rafters.
Yeah, while she's lifting him up.
Yeah.
She knocks him into, like, a beam.
Yeah. My little brother once, we were, like, in a parking lot. I don't even remember where. And we had this old Aerostar van, and my stepdad was tasked with putting Sean, my little brother, back into the van. And he, like, just put him in the seat and didn't buckle him in. And then Sean dropped a toy. And my stepdad, like, reached down to get the toy that Sean dropped. And Sean, I guess, probably also looking over. Also, he was, like, super top heavy. He had a huge head. And so, like, you know, if he moved his head, his whole body would move with it. Anyway, he moved his head and then fell out of the Aerostar and onto the concrete ground, like the, you know, pavement.
Sure.
And my mom freaked out, and she started, like, she was flying to the hospital. I remember thinking, we are driving so fast, like, we're all worried about Sean dying, but, like, what about me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not gonna help anything.
No. And he's doing fine now, you know. We could have, but none of us got into an accident, of course. I think he was also fine. Like, they were just like, yeah, he fell. Yeah.
I mean, and it's the same lesson that Monica learned this episode, like, you know, and Rachel, just, like, kids bump their head. Like, they're usually fine.
The thing is that I am the firstborn, so, of course, when I got hurt, it made sense that my mom freaked out. Sean is the third. You know, you think by this time you'd be like, oh, no, baby fell out of the van.
Their brains are like, you know, bouncy balls.
Anyway, Monica, like, she is freaking out. She's like, oh, my God, like, I hurt the baby, blah, blah, blah. And Rachel also freaking out. They're trying to, like, get the baby to calm down. Or not even calm down. He's totally fine.
Yeah, he didn't respond at all. No, like, crying or anything.
Yeah. And they are like, how are we going to cover up this bump? We need to get, like, a tiny hat. And they take Rainy Day Bear, which is some stuffed animal that
it looks like a Paddington Bear ripoff.
Yeah. Monica tries to take off the hat, but instead she rips off the whole head. And Rachel goes, oh, my God, it's a bloodbath in here.
Yeah.
That was a good part.
It was a good line.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, I guess the episode wasn't super funny.
No.
Thinking back on it.
No.
Whoever that writer was.
Adam.
A singular vision, but
not great.
Singularly unfunny.
Maybe nobody else wanted the credit.
I don't know if I wrote it.
I didn't really help out with this one, Adam. This was all you.
I buffed out some edges.
Ross, or rather, Monica hears Ben say her name. He's like, Monica, you know, in baby voice. And then he starts saying, Monica, bang. And Monica's like, oh my God, he's going to rat me out. And she's like, no, 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 don't say Monica bang. And then her plot, her idea is to start banging her head against stuff and keep saying like Monica bang. Bang.
Yeah, yeah, like Monica what? Bang, Rachel bang, Ben bang.
Yeah, no, you need to get the baby to say something else, not keep saying the word bang over and over again.
Yeah, or just like no one is going to be like, if you said Monica bang, be like, did you bang his head? Like that's something they'd be like, babble. He's an idiot kid. Like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, even watching some Flintstones or something. I don't know. It's just, he would never be like, Monica bang? But like, what happened?
Rachel gets another good line here where, you know, Monica is banging her head against the wall. And she's like, Rachel, come bang. And Rachel's banging her head. And then she's like, okay, I've had enough of this. And then as she's walking away, she says,
you know, if it's not a headboard, it's just not worth it.
And the audience is like, woo, that is spicy. Yeah.
She's talking
about
line.
She's talking about taking it.
Rachel did get the best lines in this episode, and she got the creepy Gunther. I'm starting to think that this Adam guy is in love with Rachel, or perhaps Jennifer Aniston. He just wants to let her shine.
Maybe this whole Gunther thing is his idea, and he's just trying. This is how he works his voice into the episodes.
Ugh, creepy.
Well, let's see who wrote the last one. It is my current working theory, though.
Ross comes back, and Ben immediately says, Monica bang. And he's like, Monica bang? And she's like, that's right. That's what I would sound like if I exploded. And he's like, okay, whatever. And then Ross says to Rachel, like, oh, you know, how did he, like, I noticed that little bump on his head or something like that. He also asks them if they took him whaling because he's completely dressed up in rainy day
bear.
Yeah,
they put like, the raincoat on him and the hat still on.
Rachel's like, no, what bump or whatever. And he's like, oh, you know, don't, like, worry about it. Kids are always bumping their heads on things. Like, you need to just watch them all the time. But you probably did the best that you could for your first time. And she's like, I did. I did do the best that I could.
It was Monica.
I watched Monica throw him right into the rafter. Something like that. She immediately cracks, basically. Mm-hmm. She is literally the worst friend in the world. Like, she could have just been like, whatever. You know?
I mean, clearly Ross had forgiven, you know, whatever happened, just roll with it.
Yeah, be like, yeah, well, next time I will.
Next time I'll hit him harder.
Yeah. And Ross tries to make Monica feel bad. He's like, you know, Monica, did anything happen? Because Ben used to be able to do his ABCs. Now he can't say, like, F and G or something.
E and F.
And, yeah. And Monica, and he's, like, walking around in a circle. And Monica's like, oh, my God, I broke your baby. And then she comes out, and she's like, ah, fuck you.
Yeah, she sees that he's fine, that he's not walking in a circle because one of his legs is moving faster than the other or something.
Yeah.
Whatever Ross says.
And Rachel at this point is like, because Monica runs in to go check on Ben. And Rachel says to Ross, I hope you liked before you were in hell, or something like that.
Yeah, it's just like, I hope you like it now, you know, because later you'll be in hell. I don't know, something about that, about how he's going to hell for doing this to Monica.
Yeah, and it's pretty ironic since Rachel's like the whole one who brought this up.
Yeah, she could have stepped in and stopped the whole thing, be like, no, Monica, Ben's fine.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning.
She could have not said anything to Ross. You know, there were lots of things that Rachel could have done, and now here she is, like, all judgy. Like, good choice, Ross.
She's probably thinking about Gunther now.
And Ross ultimately bumps his head, like, running around chasing Monica. I have no idea how that happens.
Or no, Monica starts chasing him, and he's, like, trying to get away from her, like, looking back as she's chasing him, and he bumps his noggin on a beam.
And Monica, once again, causes another man to hit his head on a beam.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, they have Chandler listening to a portable record player. I have no idea. He's got headphones on. He's really far away from where any record player would be.
It's true.
He's clutching a Lionel Richie record.
Yeah, it's clearly like a record sleeve. Like it's a big, you know, it's huge. It's like it's definitely a vinyl record sleeve. I guess he could have like a really long headphone cable. I mean, that's a thing. But yeah, they don't really show. I assume somewhere in Joey's giant entertainment stand, there's a record player.
Yeah.
And I guess if you had, you know, like a 6-foot cord could get there.
Yeah,
I
maybe
guess.
They used to make really long headphones because people wanted to listen to their record players.
Yeah, they definitely still do. Like,
yeah, but like more commonly.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess just because you didn't have a Bluetooth option.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but I mean, at this point, he could be listening. I guess it has to be a vinyl thing so you can, like, see that it's, you know, the big Lionel Richie art. So you know that it's Endless Love.
Yeah.
Which I only know from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, of course.
It's my entire... The only part of the song that I know is the part that is played in Happy Gilmore.
Mm-hmm. he and Phoebe are trying to harmonize, but they are not nailing it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's the whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the episode. Is there any Friends news?
Indeed, there is.
There is.
As of 5 hours ago. Friends news. Now, I did have to, I'm going to give you a little bonus.
Has Chandler been dethroned as the number one friend?
A little bonus Friends news. Earlier this week, I thought this would be the Friends news story, where Monica, it said, I got a Google News alert push that said, what is Monica's real name?
Courtney Cox.
That said, Courtney Cox won't give up Malibu home. And I was like, whoa, that sounds scandalous. So I clicked through, and it was just about how much she loves her home and how she's had it for 10 years. And she has to, she periodically changes the decorations to keep it fresh. I was like, what?
So she just likes Malibu and doesn't want
to
leave?
Yeah. There's no one who's, like, trying to buy her out. She's not, like, on the verge of losing the home.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, bank, you can buy this from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
Where is she from, Courtney Cox?
Oh, you know, this was a Friends trivia before. She was, like, from Alabama or something.
Yeah, because she doesn't, I mean, when she says Ben sometimes, she says a little bit like Bin.
Bin,
which
yeah.
is very, like, middle of the country sort of thing, like Midwestern-ish.
Well, they say like bin in the South.
Yeah. But it's like the middle area. Yeah. Or like
not New York is what you're saying.
It's certainly not, it's definitely not the East.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the South, but not the Northeast.
The Friends Experience is back in New York City, and it's bigger than ever.
Some sort of pop-up?
Yeah. Flagship has opened in the heart of the Gramercy neighborhood of the city. When you visit, you'll get a chance to reenact all of your favorite Ross, Rachel, Monica, Chandler, Phoebe, Joey moments in 18 rooms curated specifically with the diehard friend in mind.
They couldn't just say Gramercy? In the Gramercy neighborhood of New York City.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot of words.
Just keep saying New York City.
What is this like a... I assume they have some sort of COVID protocols
yep,
for this
they
or
do
something?
Have some COVID protocols. Great question. They address that in the bottom. All guests will pass through a non-invasive temperature check upon entry and are required to wear masks inside, while props get frequently sanitized.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably, you know.
Yeah. I would probably try to get your vaccine before you go. This sounds like a real COVID hotspot situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they say the surface transmission's not as big a deal, but yeah. I just, it's not worth the stupid Friends pop-up to go into.
Yeah, the team does promise that the experience is Monica clean, so there you go.
And now I get that joke.
Tickets are on sale at friendstheexperience.com for $45.
Ugh, I mean, if anything, I'm surprised it's not more.
I'm going to contact them and see if they'll let us film. Record an episode there.
What? In the middle of that super spreader event?
Yeah. Well, after hours when they've sanitized everything.
So we're just sitting in the middle of a pop-up like yeah. amongst like Friends props?
What's your idea?
To just not deal with it.
You have the worst ideas.
We can just, all right, new plan. Just tell people we do it when we record next time. We're live from the Friends pop-up.
I'm on the couch. This place is Monica clean.
Yeah. And that's it.
I don't want to go, actually, because I'm afraid that it'll have too many spoilers.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I already know Paul Rudd's on the way, apparently.
I know. That sucked.
I mean, it doesn't really suck. Like, whatever. He could be anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
He could be the new Gunther, for all I know.
New Gunther? Man. Brutal.
It's time for Friends Trivia.
For this edition of Friends Trivia, we are doing famous stories of cheating.
Okay.
Inspired by Janice, that slut. Which one of these women did not sleep with FDR, to the best of our knowledge?
Oh man, you just ran me through his whole tawdry history of banging all of his cousins.
I am giving you a gift today. I have done, I think, 2 out of 3 of these you should get. One of them because I was literally just talking about this with you yesterday.
Is it not the FDR thing?
Yeah, the FDR thing is one of them. But there's one other question that I think you should get too.
Okay.
And because I think you
need
to win.
I don't remember these people's names, but anyway, let's, you know, roll yeah. it.
All right. Marguerite Missy LeHand. Margaret Daisy Suckley.
Thank God they don't have confusingly similar names.
Lucy Mercer Rutherford and Anna Roosevelt Halstead.
So which one did he sleep with or did not?
Did he not?
Okay, you're going to have to go through them again.
Okay. Marguerite Missy LeHond, Margaret Daisy Suckley, Lucy Mercer Rutherford, or Anna Roosevelt Halstead?
Rutherford?
No, Lucy Mercer was the one I was telling you all about.
I don't know. What is it? Is it the first person?
No, it's the last one. The last one is his daughter.
Oh, I don't know.
Anna Roosevelt Halstead.
That's just an unconfirmed hookup.
Ew. Although Anna Roosevelt Halstead was the one who was like basically arranging for him to keep banging Lucy Rutherford, so.
Yeah, it's a, if you haven't looked into FDR's sexual history, you should, because it's very disturbing. It's just like, it's all cousins and they all like knew about it and they're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. Eleanor Roosevelt knew about it, but was not super pleased with it. That's why she became, okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, I think that there's a lot of theories that that's why she became, like, such an activist and, you know, such a force in her own right, because she just needed to get out of the house where FDR was banging every woman around him.
All of his cousins.
Yeah. And she was like, I was supposed to be the cousin that he banged, not all of these people.
I'm the hot cousin.
It's like, the 40s were way too late to still be banging your cousins.
Yeah, I mean, not if you're, you know, an American dynasty.
Ugh. All right. In 1814, where did 16-year-old Mary Godwin secretly meet her 21-year-old lover, poet Percy Bysshe Shelley, while Shelley was still married to his wife?
Is this multiple choice?
I'm about to tell you.
I already got lost in that question. That was very confusing.
1814.
Okay.
Where did 16-year-old Mary Godwin meet her 21-year-old lover, the poet Percy Bysshe Shelley, while Shelley was still married to his wife?
Okay.
You following it now?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, cool. Mary's mother's grave, Lord Byron's mansion, on Percy's sailboat, or Percy's in-law's summer home?
Mother's grave.
That is correct. You're back on top. Maybe you will get this.
It's the best place to do it.
That is about Mary Shelley. You know who that is?
Name sounds familiar.
She wrote Frankenstein.
Her name's Mary Shelley?
Yes. As opposed to what?
Oh, I knew the last name was Shelley. I didn't know the first name was Mary.
Did you know it was a woman who wrote Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, she had a really fucked up life. After you read about all of FDR's affairs, go ahead and just read Mary Shelley's life. She and this guy, they had like 3 kids together. They all died. Percy's pregnant wife drowned herself after she found out about Mary and Percy. And then Percy himself ends up dying on a sailboat. She only has one kid who makes it like to adulthood. And she spends the rest of her life just trying to get her husband's works published and trying to get Frankenstein published and care for her last son. Really sad. Which of these lovers of Henry VIII led to England's break from the Roman Catholic Church? Catherine, Anne, Jane, or Elizabeth?
What was the question?
Which of these lovers of Henry VIII led to England's break from the Roman Catholic Church?
I must have spaced out during this time when you were talking at me.
I wasn't talking with you about this at all. I didn't tell you about this ever. This is just something you should know from history. England's break from the Catholic Church was like a huge, the Reformation and all this. It's just history, Chris.
Okay, but I thought you said there was one you just talked about.
No, that's the FDR one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I got that wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
Now you're following.
So Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Which woman broke up the empire?
Yes. Catherine, Anne, Jane, or Elizabeth?
Catherine?
Ooh, it is Anne. Anne Boleyn. No? That name means nothing
no,
to you?
I've heard it. I don't... Yeah. There's like, you know, 16 of these dudes with the same exact name. I don't know which one did what.
Yeah. He later beheads her, you know.
Sure. Yeah. That's what you did.
Mm-hmm. He, like, started sleeping with her, and he, like, got out of the Catholic Church because he couldn't get his previous marriage annulled so that he could marry Anne Boleyn.
Is this how we got 9,000 branches of Protestantism?
This is the start, I think.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, is this where the, you know, the root of the tree?
Yep.
The trunk?
The trunk, yes.
Catholics held strong.
Yeah, until...
Protestants went crazy.
He couldn't get his dick wet. Well, he could, but, you know, he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, with the grace of God.
You know, if he were alive today with our gay pope, he wouldn't even know what to believe.
Maybe he'd come back.
All right, well, I lose again.
Yeah. Even with my gifts. Lucy Mercer, I couldn't believe you picked her. Like, I was just talking about her so much.
Yeah, but there's just, those names are just flying all over. I don't, like, commit them to memory. Like, yeah. I don't... Sure, like, now I just took away from that FDR banged his cousins. I didn't commit any of the names to memory.
Lucy Mercer wasn't his cousin, though.
Whatever. Probably his, whatever, niece, something.
She may have been a distant, like, fourth cousin or something.
Yeah, they all were. Like, yeah. Most people can avoid even distant cousins.
Not the Roosevelts.
Yeah, it's like, get outside your bubble.
Yeah. And they wonder why FDR was a cripple.
Get that whole polio thing was a smokescreen for just, you know, rapid, incestuous birth defects.
I have a correction, a journalistic correction from last episode. You may remember that I told you the story about how my mom only tipped that waitress 5%. My mom has sent me a very long text message confirming the story and saying that she actually only tipped one penny. Not 5%.
I mean, yeah, that seems like you'd a much stronger message.
Yes. That is a very strong message.
Yeah, because 5% could also be like, some people
steak.
Just like think that, you know, yeah. That's an amount you can tip.
Yeah, that's pretty much what my mom is saying. Like, you know, she wants to make sure she knows that she did a terrible job.
It's got to be a shiny new penny.
She also said that the waitress was... just, like, ignoring them, like, obviously, or not them, us, ignoring us, and that she could see the waitress ignoring us. Like, okay, yeah. I mean, I can remember it was miserable. Just bring over some bread. All right, after that journalistic correction, you can catch us every Friday by, I would say, 5 p.m. You know, we used to say noon.
Dinner time.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah.
It's a nice 5 p.m. podcast. While you're getting ready and making dinner, you can listen to the latest episode, which Chris will hopefully have up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have it up. Five is the outside of my range. Between noon and 5, it'll pop up. Just Have Friends Out Podcast. Instagram. Tell your friends.